On Static on 2SER, it is super sweet to be joined by a couple of guys with a record out this week, both Max and Julian from Whitney. How are you both?
Hey there. We're good.
Doing wonderful, thank you.
You should be doing wonderful, and it's a hell of a time for Whitney to have album number 4 out, Small Talk, Max and Julian. And you guys have already, on this album's run, made a whistle-stop tour of Australia just a few weeks ago. And that was quite some heavy-duty pre-awareness campaign. That's the kind of thing that Tom Cruise does, racing around the world, launching Mission Impossible movies.
It's true. But honestly, we had taken so long in between trips to Australia that we honestly just jumped at whatever opportunity we had because we just love it down there.
Well, also, this means, Max, that you can come back again on this album cycle. You were getting it in early, right?
That's the plan.
And it's interesting to hear the way that this Whitney album came together, you guys, because it's the first one that you've self-produced. And the way forward for that came when you were wrapping up the last album, Spark, with one of its producers, Brad Cook. And he turned to the both of you, as I understand it, and said you really should be producing your own records yourselves and kind of, in essence, put himself out of a job.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, we don't really think about it that way, but he is the type of hands-off producer that is capable of saying something like that, which we honestly really appreciated, and that gave us probably an extra 5% of confidence to do it. I think we always did know that we would eventually make the right Whitney record ourselves, you know.
Julian, I thought that would have given you a huge shot of confidence. Despite already being such a number of years and albums into your career, did it take someone like him, who you respected and who had been fulfilling that role already, to say, you guys have got this?
I mean, yeah, it just helped. He's been a part of so many great records throughout the years, but also just really recently. And yeah, it's just funny. Like, we have such a good time working with all the producers we've worked with, like Rado and him and Congleton. As we're getting that advice from him, we're also like, oh, it'll be sad to not make a record with you guys.
You were more worried about the socializing aspects of making a Whitney record.
Kind of. I mean, we do a lot of giggling and laughing in the studio. And it's funny, like, the way we chose to do the record, it is a bit isolated or something.
But you would have also been producing so many demos and prepping so many other aspects of each Whitney record anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was in line with the normal way we make a record in a lot of ways, because we do demo pretty extensively. So when it came to the point of deciding to record the final versions of the songs, we'd worked in the same process that we always had in terms of how much work we put into each idea before it was time to take to a studio or make the final version of it.
And Max, this Whitney album was also informed by some Sliding Doors life moments, because after the last album, Spark, you were both preparing to move out of the same space across the country with your respective partners, but both those relationships fell apart, right, around the same time. So both your lives were upended. What are the odds?
Those things seem to happen in our friend group all at the same time in general. Before, when we went to write Spark, we actually all ended up moving to Portland because it was a similar kind of scenario of a few of us going through breakups at the time. But yeah, it just kind of ended up working out that way, and for better or for worse at the time, and I think now, obviously, for the better.
Do you think for the better somewhat because it also helped you with the writing of the record?
Now I do, you know. At the time, you know, I feel like it goes through phases, especially in the writing process, when you're going through something that's kind of grief-based, where, like, at times it can feel like it makes you not want to do anything, obviously, and then at times it feels very inspiring to channel that emptiness of that time into something productive and creative. So I feel like a lot of people go through that kind of back and forth when they're having a tough time in their personal life with art making and music making, where it sometimes feels really easy and sometimes feels pretty pointless or something. And that's kind of the challenge.
It's almost like as if you needed that kind of inspiration, really, to help you write some sad songs.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Whenever you have a day where you write a song that you really love, it feels like an easier day generally. But then when you're in the thick of it and you're making music that isn't suiting you as much, which I think happens all the time, it feels even worse when you're going through a breakup or something like that.
Well, you guys got to work together writing these songs, and there's plenty of breakups and heartache in the Bittersweet Tales on this new Whitney album, Small Talk. The single, Dandelions, has that real glass-half-empty line, "If I've known happiness at all, it didn't last too long."
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's just one of those lines that just kind of makes sense. We didn't deliberate about tweaking a word here or there to make it more clever. It was just like, oh, yeah. I mean, also that song is kind of like a substance abuse song mixed with a breakup song. And I think that line is sort of suited to both of those journeys, you know?
Do those lines, though, sometimes come out by now when you're writing Whitney songs and you're almost like, oh, of course, this is going to be in this song, almost from your subconscious? These feelings and these emotions have come to the surface.
It totally does. I mean, writing lyrics, at least for us, is like a real mixture of absolutely painstakingly smashing our heads against the wall to figure out something that we like half the time. And then the other half, it all just comes together and you're just like, well, of course. Thank you, whatever songwriting God just gifted us these lines that we connect with.
You guys do have that self-awareness and knowing wink in the way you deliver the heartache in your lyrics sometimes. The song Damage opens with the line, "Before we parted ways, I heard the violins."
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our song right now, especially with our catalog, comes from a place of cautious optimism. And also, I think on this record a lot, the songs that are more devastating like Damage and a little bit of Dandelions and Islands or Really Something come from a place of really facing devastation and whatnot. But then, you know, songs like Won't You Speak Your Mind has a little more positive outlook on it that seems a little more like we've been through some harder times and let's figure out how to not let that ruin everything. So I think we've used both positive and negative experiences to try to make what feels like a correct width of take on like what it's like to be in an actual relationship.
And you guys, just as important as going through some relationship ups and downs for your lyrics, it seemed that musically, the journey and trying out some different things is the most important part of making a Whitney record, because that last album, 2022's Spark, saw you guys deliberately shake up your sound somewhat away from the trad folk and soulful country and soft rock that have been a part of your first two albums, Light Upon the Lake and Forever Turned Around, and you ended up incorporating some more contemporary R&B influences on that last one. Did that bolster your confidence to see what you could pull off as Whitney?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Forever Turned Around, we, for whatever reasons, used the same exact palette that we had discovered on Light Upon the Lake. And it was really, really hard for us to actually finish that album, as much as we love it and we view it as a really important record, obviously, in our discography. But that sort of like sent us on a path of extremes. So I feel like after Forever Turned Around, we just knew that if we were going to make another Whitney record, it had to sort of broaden the scope and allow us to just paint with some different colors. And then also like sort of looking back at that record, it does feel like, you know, I think we understand how different it actually is only now after the time has passed. But anyway, so now like it feels like we've course corrected a little bit at this point.
But it was also the record you two had to make to get to this one, right?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like we just had to get that out of our system, honestly. And now it feels like Small Talk is truly like what we have wanted to make since we started the project.
I'll also be here in 20 years when Spark gets the fan reappraisal and becomes your Pinkerton.
That's like at least within the Whitney camp, that's a popular sentiment.
And you two, while sonically this album is, again, more of a throwback classic sound, so too does its cover photo evoke an image of a bygone era. For people who haven't seen it yet, it's the pair of you slouching in a room near a window. And now, I don't know if anyone else has pointed this out yet, but if there was a cat in the foreground, it'd really resemble Carole King's 1971 album Tapestry.
That's the first thing a lot of people have said to us, which I really like.
Yeah, I mean, like, her album cover is so iconic. It really is just the color of the light that's sort of floating throughout the photo that I think gives it that vibe.
And also, we were in my grandmother's house in my aunt's childhood bedroom, which I don't think has been changed. There's, like, a bookcase in it with, like, old paraphernalia that is honest. That's just where it sits forever, but it really seems, like, somehow curated in, like, a very specific moment, which is cool.
So did you have to shoo a cat out of the way so it didn't exactly look like Tapestry?
My Nana actually does have cats, but they're all feral and live outside. So there are no cats allowed in that house. They're on the property somewhere.
Cats or no cats, it is so great to have this record out. It's fantastic you've already been here. But like I say, you need to come back now on the second round of touring for Small Talk.
Yeah.
We might have a listen to a song off the album on the radio right now. We'll play Why Won't You Speak Your Mind.
That's nice. One of our favorites from the album. Yeah. It's a very fun song to make.
It is a fun song. It was great to check in with the pair of you, Max and Julian. And yeah, we'll hopefully see you back in Sydney sooner rather than later. This is Whitney now on Static. Thanks for the talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Won't you speak your mind?